help other fathers to be able to deal with some of the things. And I'm not going to try to go over all the letter. It was a very simple letter. He said, when I was a child, my parents carried me to church, and I went to every service. I was there all the time. Vacation Bible School, other things, I was there. And he said, I got married. And when I got married, I decided I need to take my children to church. And he did. Said, I did for a while. He carried his son. And he said, we were faithful for a long time. And said, and then he got a little older, and we decided, you know, we want to go to the lake some. And so they started doing that, missing a service here, missing a service there. Then the young man, he enjoyed hunting, so he and his father would go hunting, and sometimes they'd go hunting on the weekends, and they would miss church. And before long, they didn't even go to church. They were doing this, and they were doing that, and they were going here, and they were going there. And his, you know, the father thought, you know, we really need to get back in church. We need to do that. But he didn't. And then one day, he was standing in a courtroom. His son was there, 22 years old, standing before a judge. He'd committed a horrific crime. And the judge was looking at him, and the judge asked him, said, son, don't you believe in God? And he said, God? Who in the world's that? And his father said, I think everybody in that whole courtroom turned and looked at me. Didn't you teach your children about God? Didn't you talk to him about God? And he said, I did. But you know what? I didn't show him the example of a Christian. I didn't show him the example of what a father should be that is a child of God. And he said, my son got a long sentence that day. But the sentence was really mine. The shame was really mine. Because I should have carried that child. I should have taught him more about God's Word. You know, when you get older, you start looking back at your life just a little bit, and you recognize some things that you did wrong. I think all of us do that. We'd love to go back and redo them, but we can't. We'd love to go back and take them out of the way and just, you know, erase them, but you can't do that. They're there. All you can do is repent of it and try to do better. But that seems so shallow when it involves your children. Now, maybe you've reached that time in your life to where you regret some of the things you did as a father. I hope if you do, you can confess those things and get them straightened out with the Lord and with your family and go on and serve God and do God's will. That's what we've got to do. Because we've got to remain faithful. We've got to continue to do that. You know, research has shown us that those who have a father who is faithful to God and who serves God, many times their children will remain faithful to God. Now, I know sometimes some of you are sitting here and saying, yeah, I know what you're saying, but I know I'm sitting here today and I've been faithful all my life. I've served God all my life. I've tried to bring my children up in what is right. I've tried to teach them. I've tried to show them. I've tried to help them to understand what the Bible teaches. But they're not faithful. Please understand, there are no guarantees. There are no guarantees that if you bring your child to every worship service, if you teach them day and night the Bible, that they're going to remain faithful. You see, each child is a free moral agent. They have the right to accept or to reject what they hear, what they're taught. And that's just right. You see, God does not do away with our free moral agency. He allows us to do what we want to do. Now, granted, He's trying to teach us what's right. He's trying to show us what's right. He's trying to help us to know what the right way to go. He's trying to do that. But please understand, He's not going to force you to do what's right. And parents, your child is going to reach an age to where you cannot force them to do what's right. They've got to make a choice for themselves. Some of you know that pain. You know that pain today, and me bringing it up causes you to hurt in your heart so deep, and I'm sorry, but it's not just for you. It's for the warning of those that are still have their children at home to continue to try to teach them. The best you can do is the best you can do. Try to help them to understand what God's Word says. try to help them to have a faith of their own. We blame our universities because our children go to college and they don't go to church. Let me tell you something. They may not have a faith of their own. Train your children to decide, to discern what the truth is. Not just, you're going to church, and I understand that. Our kids didn't have a choice. They were going. Now they have a choice. And it is their decision. But please understand, we've got to help them as much as we can. We've got to do as much as we can. We've got to give them an example of what is right and what is good. Now, I want you to see some people in the Bible. What did I do with that thing? I got it here somewhere. I wanted you to see some example of some people. Jehoshaphat, and he had a son, and his son was Jehoram. In Chronicles, it talks about this father and him doing what is right and him living right, him being a great king over Israel. He did in Second Chronicles 20 and verse 32, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Not just in the eyes of man, but in the eyes of the Lord. He did what was good. But now, look at his son. If you go down to 2 Chronicles 33, verses 1 through 9, you see his son there and what his son did. His son became the king, and he just did totally opposite from his father. Well, does that mean his father didn't do what was right? Does that mean that his father didn't live as he should live? He wasn't the right kind of an example? Not necessarily. I've always tried to help parents to see that there's three things in the training of the teaching of a child. You can train a child. You can teach a child. Society has something to do. Who they associate with, who they are a part of, has something to do with who they are. And then they take all of that and they mix it together and they come out with the kind of person that they're going to be. It may not be what you want. And you don't have as much control over that as you would like to. But that's the way it is. So we've got to take our little that we have as fathers, and we've got to use that to train and to teach our children in what is right, because the world is going to teach them. There is no way around that. The world is going to influence our children. But not only the world, they're going to look at that. We have to help them. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. It says to help to train that child in the way that it will help him, help his spirit, help him and teach him in such a way that it will be beneficial to him. Children don't always learn the same. Some learn by instruction. Some learn by punishment. We're going to learn those things, and that's a part of it. But here's a father who was a good king, who did what was right in the Lord. But his son, what the father did in tearing down all the idol worship, the son brought them all back up. The son put his idol in the place where God was supposed to be. I'm sure it hurt the father's heart. It did that. And I don't know what you can do about it. Except pray and pray and pray. And listen to this. You be an example no matter what your children do. You serve God and you do God's will no matter what they do. You keep being faithful. Then we go on and we see the example here of Jehoram, Jehoshaphat, and we see what they did. But we also see Hezekiah and his son Manasseh and the things that they did. Here's a father who was willing to do what was right. Here's a son who was willing to reject every bit of that and turn away from it and not accept what God would have him to do. He became an evil person. He became a person not to do the will of God. Well, it's the father's fault. No, understand. You as a child are responsible for what you do. I've heard people say, well, my father did this and my father did that and he did this way and he did that way. Listen, your father may not have been a good father. That does not mean you can be bad. We've got to do what's right and what's good because it's right and it's good. And you show the right example. You help other people to understand that, understand what they need to be. Now, we must recognize that what we've got to do is that dads are have a responsibility to teach their children, to help them to understand what is right and what is good. They've got to be willing to do that. Throughout Scriptures, we see where fathers are encouraged to teach their children. Listen at this. In Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7, listen what Moses told the children of Israel. Here's people who were going to serve God. He was trying to give them a message that would help them to be able to do that. Listen to his words here. These commandments that I give to you today are to be upon your hearts. You have them not just in your words, but you have them in your heart. Now, what are you to do with those things? Impress. Put those things down. Put them in your children's mind, into your children. Talk about them. Now listen to this. Talk about them when you sit at home. Talk about them when you walk along the road. Talk about them, these things of God, when you lie down and when you get up. He said, I want you, what you've got to do, this law I'm giving you today, you've got to really put it in the hearts of your children. That means that you talk about it a great deal. You help them to understand what that is. You help them to see the Word of God in your life. But you also use your mouth to teach them what the Word of God is. Now, society is going to affect your children. But let me tell you something. For years, you have the ability to train and teach your children in the home. You have the ability to help them to know what is right. Like the Bereans who searched the Scriptures. And I'm sure if they searched the Scriptures, their children saw that, and their children were encouraged to do that themselves in Acts 17. But we also see that Paul was one that was willing to say, you need to know the Scriptures. You need to understand the Scriptures. Listen to what he said about Timothy. Timothy, from an infant, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to save you, to make you wise. And you've known about all these things. Where did he get that? He got it in the home. Let me tell you something. We got good Bible school teachers, don't we? I got one. Where's the rest of you at? We've got good Bible school teachers, haven't we? Jeez, I'm going to sit down. I'm tired. Whew. We've got good Bible school teachers. I don't care what you think. I think that. And they do a good job. And the church tries to do things that will help your family to be the kind of family it needs to be. But let me tell you something. The first responsibility, and I don't think we've emphasized this to parents, is you. It is you that have the responsibility to train and teach your children. The church needs to help, but it's not the church's total responsibility to do that. It's yours as a parent. It's yours especially as a father. You're to be the spiritual leader of your family. Our problem is we've dumped that off on our wives like a lot of other stuff. And it should not be. We need to be helping our children to know that. You say, Timothy's mother and grandmother taught him. Yes, because his father evidently was not a believer. And they picked up the slack. Let me tell you something. Pick up the Word of God and live it, fathers. Teach it to your children so that they'll understand that and they will know. Help them to know the right way to go. Help them to know what needs to be, how people need to live and serve God and do God's will. You be the right kind of an example. And I'm telling you, I talked about fathers and their regrets. I'm persuaded there's some fathers here today that if we had it, they could come up here and say, listen, I want to tell you, I regret for not teaching my family as a father when I was younger. I knew a fellow one time, I think I've mentioned this to you before. His children were unfaithful and he came and he said, I want to get my life straightened out. Been a member of the church for years. And so we worked on that. We got that done. Didn't take long. He said, my children are not faithful. I didn't take them when I was young like I should have. He said, what can I do about them? I said, about the only thing I know you can do is go to them, tell them that you were wrong in what you were doing, and that you would love for them to come back to church. He said, what if they don't come? I said, you're going to have to live with that. There's not much you can do. You can't force them. But you can let them know. Now, I don't know this fella. I don't know if his children ever came back. Probably, if it's like most, they didn't do it. The regret that he had, the hurt that he had in his heart, was with him for the rest of his life. What I'm trying to do today for you, those of you that are younger, is help you understand you don't want that kind of regret. Your children need to see you at services all the time. Your children need to see you praying all the time. They need to see you praying at meals. Your children need to know the sacrifices that you make to be a part of the body of Christ and how you need to live. You need to impress that on their hearts in such a way as they'll never ever forget that. I don't know if the people I've heard before said, you know, I can remember my granddaddy, I can remember my daddy, I can remember my mother, I can remember my grandmother as they read the Bible and studied God's Word. What an example that is. Some of you did not have that. Maybe your parents didn't even go to church. You say, well, I haven't been trained. Okay, start training yourself. Start learning. Start finding out more. Ignorance is something that you can overcome if you want to do it. But don't remain there. Don't use it as a crutch and an excuse. Don't allow that to be a part of what you're trying to do. You be one that you're willing to do what's right and encourage. We could go to Titus and see there the passage was read and you're hearing a while ago about Titus there and how that Titus was one that he was not to let people look down on him because he was young, not let people look down on him because of who he was, but let him be the example to other people. That's what we're talking about today. Be an example to your family. Not just teaching it, not just coming and teaching in a Bible class, but be an example to your whole family, letting them know that, listen, this is something I'm doing, not just for you, but I'm doing it for me, but you're allowed to be able to see that. And so we're going to do that, and we're going to be that example. But not only that, we're going to be that person that we're going to be drawing ourselves closer to God, and we're going to teach our children, and we're going to be an example to our children in every way that we can. That's what we've got to be, that kind of an example. Paul is one who encouraged the Thessalonians to live. He said, we came in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 9. He said, we, those people that were with me, we came in and we lived as an example before you. We didn't just preach to you. We didn't just tell you how it should be. We didn't just talk to you about that. But we showed you how it was. That's what we got to do. The world is looking for real, live Christians. They're looking for people that are serving God and doing God's will. They're looking for those examples that are going to be there, and they're going to be the right kind of an example. An example that recognizes, I need to be at the worship service. I need to be at the worship service to encourage the church, but I need to be at the worship service because I'm a child of God. And draw people close to that. Brethren, I don't know, this may be one of the most important lessons I've ever preached because it affects people's eternity. It affects children. And that's so important, and we recognize how necessary that is when we get older. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you would like to go back and do it all over again? Some of you saying, no, I don't want to. But some are saying, you know, I wish I could. I'd correct a lot of things. I'd do a lot of things different. Well, you know, God can help you with those things. God can forgive you of those things. If they were sins, if they were wrong, God can forgive you. And maybe your family can too. And I'm persuaded they will. A lot of families have had to do that. But wouldn't it be better if it never happened? If you were faithful and your children saw that and understood that, if they recognized what it was to be that faithful child of God. Martin Luther, preacher of years ago, did a eulogy for a fellow, and it was short. Short sermons. Everybody likes those, don't they? Amen. His was very simple. He got up, the body was there, and he said, you know the stuff that all of us preach? This man lived it. And that was it. Over with. Wouldn't you like that to be said of you? You lived it. You'll make mistakes. You'll do things that are wrong. You'll have regrets. But you show that example of faithfulness. You show that example of one that's going to be faithful to God no matter what. Start it when you're young and it's easy to keep it up. But again, not only can our children be influenced by society, but we also can as fathers. Some fathers think their job is just to make money, bring it home, and as long as you support the family, that's it. Let me tell you something. That's not it. Not at all. You need to support the family. But you know what? You are the spiritual leader of your home. God designed that. And boy, husbands love to hear, wives, obey your husbands. Well, let me tell you something. Here's another one. Husbands, obey your Lord. That's what we've got to do as fathers. So you make a decision today. You're going to be the best example of a father that could ever be. Your child's going to see you read scriptures. He's going to see you at the worship service. He's going to help. He's going to see you as a person that's dedicated to God, and you're going to serve God no matter what. And you help him to do that. You help her to do that. And I guarantee you, when you get old and you see your children as they're faithful to God, you'll be thankful for it. You'll rejoice in it. And they will be able to say, just as the daughters of Proverbs 31 will say about the mother, how blessed she is, they'll say how blessed our father is because he lived faithful to God. And he continues to serve God no matter what. If there's any way that we can help you to be a better father, we want to try to do that. We're not perfect in that. We're all learning and we will be until the day we die. But if we can help you to be a better father, we want to do that. If we can pray with you and for you for things in your life, for sins in your life, we want to do that today. If we can help you to become a Christian so that you can show to your family that they need to become Christians. If we can help you today to be more dedicated to God, we'll pray for that. And we'll pray with you for that. That that can be a part of your life. Whatever we can do to help you, please come right now as we stand and as we sing.